Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio podcast, your go-to source for bite-sized lessons in growing and running your dance studio. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm a dance studio owner and business coach, helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. Do you love the podcast content but are looking to get a bit more one-on-one strategy? If that is the case, I really encourage you to check out our monthly masterclasses. Each month, I dive into a specific topic that is going to help you and your dance studio reach the next level. So if you're interested in finding more about that, head to assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Again, each month is a specific topic catered to you and your dance studio, all about how to grow and create a bigger, more successful, just more streamlined dance studio. And if that's something you're interested in, you can buy a one-off masterclass. So if you can sort of pick and choose to what topics suit your interest, or alternatively, you can sign up for our membership to our masterclass, which is a discounted monthly price. So whatever you are interested in joining us for, you can check that out at assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of my episodes released weekly. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. In today's episode, we are diving into all things planning for 2024. So if you are an Australian listener, our years go from January to December. So we are looking at starting a brand new year in the new year. But for our friends in different parts of the world, potentially they've already started their new season, but might be looking to, you know, refresh a few things still in the new year, or could apply some of these changes to the new season that is happening almost right about now. So whatever or wherever you are in the world, I hope that these tips and strategies really help you have a successful and start planning out your 2024. And there's also some things for you to keep in mind, like during your year, so that you can make changes as needed throughout the year or potentially for the following year, because these are the things we have to plan so far in advance. So if you're interested in finding out how we do our planning, how we review our year, and some things I'm looking at changing for next year, as well as maybe some industry trends we anticipate, stay tuned for today's episode. So planning for 2024, this is a big topic, and as always, I am joined by the lovely Mariah.
Hi.
Mariah is actually a big aspect of our planning, as you do all our operations at the studio. So just some clarity, we're at the end of September now, and already how many months ago did we have our calendar for next year?
We did our calendar middle of August. So last month.
So we did our calendar for the year, and that included all holiday workshops.
Everything. Yeah. So literally everything that we do within the year. So we actually, last year we ended up doing our calendar on a massive whiteboard, calendar planner.
We just literally could write it in.
Yeah. But as we grew over the year and more team were onboarding, and then we had different locations, that main calendar, it was living in one location that not everyone goes to.
And the amount of times people were like, can someone send me a photo of the calendar?
Yeah. So it just wasn't really working out. So we ended up switching to Google Calendar.
Which in hindsight, I can't believe we
didn't do. I don't know. Maybe it was the thought of pen and paper. I guess all of us were kind of working at Calendra at that point.
True.
So we ended up switching over to Google Calendar, and it's all color-coded. Everyone's on the calendar. Everyone can see, can add things in, take things out if they cancel, blah, blah, blah. But basically, we went through what our non-negotiables are for the year. Mm. Well, really, we went from January all the way into the end, and we used this year as a base.
Yeah. Some events were we won't repeat, it wasn't successful, or that was great, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Let's move that forward or whatever.
Yeah. So going in, adding in holidays, camps, workshops, adding in concerts for next year, mid-year shows for next year, all the must-have dates of everything, exam sessions, all of that stuff has now been put into our 2024 calendar. So that is what we will work towards next year and work in next year.
And we are also like in the process of finalizing our timetable. Ideally, I would have had it done. It's just one of those things where you just... Anyway. And so that once that's done, we'll then put our information pack together, which will include like a calendar essentially. So that then that information will be available to parents as well. So that was, we sort of had a big session, like you said, last month. We didn't really do like goal setting. We usually kind of wait for a little bit longer. We're still trying to hit our goals and maintain that for this year. It's definitely something I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking about a lot in terms of team structure as I'm doing the timetable. So you know, we've had a lot of growth over the last, you know, couple of years, but particularly the last 12 months. And so this is something that I'm really mindful of, like, you know, where are people's strengths, where are people, you know, maybe it's they find a particular age group or style or location hard. So as I'm timetabling, I'm really keeping that in mind, and I encourage everyone who's listening to think about that. It does get tricky as a business owner. Sometimes you have to make, you know, hard decisions, whether that be reducing someone's hours if you don't think they've been an effective team member. I'm not saying that's happening at ours, but these are some things you have to think about when you're doing it, or in terms of like, you know, say if you have, you have to pick from two teachers, sometimes you have to make those hard decisions, and that might make that might mean you have to have some tricky conversations, but at the end of the day, it's going to set you up for a better year and then make, you know, succeeding whatever sort of business goals or student number goals or anything that you have like simpler to achieve and maintain. So those are things that you have to kind of take into account. And I guess I have been thinking about, and this is something, again, when I'm working through this process, and like I'm just trying to sort of share what are the sort of process and steps I go through to help those that are listening do it for themselves. So, you know, reviewing what worked and what didn't. So really looking at the timetable, taking notes, like there's just some practical structure things that I didn't think worked well. Like, you know, some teachers were split across multiple locations on one day, so it made relief quite difficult. We were talking before, like our studio manager, Nick, she had like a couple of hours sort of teaching sporadically, like random days. So if she was away or needed to cover someone else, it just made it hard for her to do because she technically still had her own class. So, you know, really looking at sort of blocking out hours, and then, you know, just practically we're sort of looking at streamlining our, we don't call them this, but like they're known as like recreational classes versus exam classes. To ensure that we are kind of starting to channel down or niche into our students' interests as well as we continue to grow. So those are some of the things that I've been really thinking about a lot, like what did work well, and we sort of the structure of our management team. And so whilst everyone is staying on in their role, there is like a couple of roles that will potentially being tweaked, whether they're just in charge of more of a different area location, or again, whether we sort of had, this an episode we'll actually get into later this in the year, but we're sort of talking about managing multiple locations and like what's the best way to structure a management team, or even just like any team around that, whether it be, you know, one person across multiple locations, or whether it's like one person at one location only. And there is positive and negative to both. These are things that you have to think about when you're timetabling and getting these things in place. So some market trends to anticipate in our industry for 2024. Is there anything that you can think of in terms of advertising or social media? Like, you know, have you seen any changes? I know we've seen a lot of changes in socials this year. But is there anything that you anticipate changing, you know, overall in the next 12 months? For next year?
In terms of dance studios, do you mean? Or in social media? Which one?
Well,
studios, yeah, sorry.
In dance studios, but like in terms of our social media use and advertising and such.
Yeah, I think I see everyone sort of upping their game a little bit in social space, for sure. I mean, I don't really watch our competitors often on what they're doing on socials, but I definitely see, like, even me, I'm getting ads for dance studios across the But also in my head, I'm like, I'm not your target audience. Yes,
that's so true.
And I'm like, because I know from my back end, I was like, your money is being spent on me and I have no children and I'm...
Yeah, I was going to say potentially you're starting to get into the age range.
Right.
That could be the only thing if it's not...
But like, then you can pick if I'm a, like, it says like parents of 2 to 5, yeah, or parents of blah, blah, blah.
But I also do wonder, like, I know we use that, but like, it can't be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
And maybe you're the outlier maybe as well because you have an association with kids and maybe is confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know in, again, the back end as well, people obviously targeting like dance as an interest.
Yes.
Which is always a bit.
Yeah.
Because, well, potentially your target market's not interested in it yet.
No. Yeah. 100%. But that was just something I saw and I was like, oh.
Sort of like mess. Oh, if I see an ad from like interstate or like. I've literally been advertised like somewhere in America. I have messaged them and just said, hey, just so you know.
Yeah.
Just, and they must not have any country or location targeting and again, just targeting like interested in dance.
I know. And I just feel like, it's just a waste of money for them. Yeah. That's the only thing
I'm concerned about.
And then I guess I just have seen a little bit of growth in like,
I've seen the quality of ads looking a bit more sharp, which is great across the board.
Maybe putting more effort and time into that, as into their socials has been a thing that I've just been seeing. And I think it will definitely continue to be the same in 2024. I haven't seen many, like, of our area jump onto TikTok. I mean, there's probably a couple but no one sort of jumped on that yet.
And we haven't.
No, yet. No.
But if you've listened to the podcast, something I've been saying probably what, for 6 months, I'm going to do it. I haven't.
It's okay. But
I'm not going to do it.
I'm trying to think of.
Just
to
be honest.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to think of some more market trends in that sort of space.
Well, I'm also sort of thinking about how, and even like using us as an example, but maybe this is something that other people are feeling across the board. It's just like potentially after COVID and or potentially after a season of growth, you get so focused on, you know, making things work more streamlined and, you know, the process, and that's a really important phase and a really important part of any business. I think to lose sight of that is not smart. But I think for us, I see a big shift in like coming back to the community and the focus on what we do. And this is something that I keep telling all of our team. The main thing we do is teach dance. And whilst social media is important and all of these things play a vital role, communication with parents, doing the invite, all of that, it has to happen to have a successful and, you know, a smooth business. But at the end of the day, if we don't have incredible teachers taking incredible classes, what's the point?
Yeah.
And we just really need to keep that front of mind. And I think, not that we've lost sight of that, I'm not saying that at all, but it's just something I think I want to really, like, focus in on more and really, again, nurture. And these are, again, all things that I know we're doing, but I just think that there's been a bit more of a focus potentially on the back end. And it's been necessary to kind of keep up with our growth, 100%. But I think we're at that stage now where we're, like, chugging along again, and I don't feel like we're running to keep up day to day, and that we have the opportunity to finesse probably more of the day to day in terms of, like, who's in charge of what, who's going to get X done, blah, 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 and then putting a lot more emphasis on that community, being able to, like, greet everyone by name, having that like almost concierge experience for when people come into the studio. And yes, that's for new students and new enrollments, because those conversions are really important as a business, but it's also really important to feel connected or known when you're coming into something, if you've been coming there for a long time.
Yeah, and that also obviously just helps with your retention and that like loyalty base within your customers as well. I just think although getting new people in your door as well is going to help, and yeah, you enroll them, but then when you drop people off that were already enrolled, it ends up being the same number. And so you're not really growing. and maintaining a number,
which is still great.
Yeah, of course.
But everyone will prefer to retain more and grow more.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I think again, just looking at what are the ways to do that, and there's things that are out of our control. Like, you're just not going to be the fit for every yeah. parent and student, and that's totally fine. And you should never expect that. But there should be a certain amount of students that are retained for, you know, at least the year.
Yeah.
Even if it's just kind of like a passing interest to them. So I think that all comes back to that connection, how they feel connected. Like, do they think if they're not in class next week that someone asks where they are?
Yeah.
Or do they just feel like, well, no one will notice, and what does it matter? Yeah. And really kind of thinking about that. So, you know, how can their individual teachers have that connection with them? And I think that our teachers do a great job at that. But then how can, you know, the person at the front desk or the other team members, or like, how do they feel included and involved in the community outside of potentially just their regular class? So those are some things I think that we are looking to shift. And I think that's something as well that people will start to come back to, because I think there's been this massive surge of like digital focus and after COVID, and like, you know, growth into try and recover after that period, which is totally normal. And now we're kind of back into this like normal time where we, you know, people might have to, okay, but I don't think people are even testing very much in Australia anymore. Yeah. But, you know, so there might be small bouts of like personal isolation, but no enforced closures or lockdowns or anything. So we're in this time of normalcy other than financial downturn, which is something I think potentially could be a not positive trend.
Yeah.
Potentially people reducing the amount of classes. Yeah. Or holding off if they're not finding it's of absolute importance during this financial era that we're going through. So that's something just else to consider.
I think just like I keep seeing this word everywhere, and I was watching a video the other day, and this guy was talking about it, and just like simplifying, just like stripping back and having simplicity, I think. And I think I didn't even like think that until now, like when you're speaking about it. And I think it's just kind of coming back and knowing why we do all this back end stuff, or like just like simplify, coming back to, you know, like who our people are, even though we always have been like, we know everyone, like, you know, we're in that community. But I think, like you said, I think even just like a parent coming in and that front of house person being like, oh, you told me last week you were going to Sydney. How was it? And then being like, oh, like, you know, we're not just in and out. We're coming in, we're coming out. We're just dancing and then, yeah, you know what? It's not for us anymore. Like, and I think it's just, yeah, coming back to what a dance studio is, besides all lack of this craze of like keeping up and all, which is all great, but then like at the end of the day, like you said, it's about your dance classes and that community that you grow within your studio and doing all fun things like that. And I think like even all of our little like Love Week, Halloween, like that's so fun and such a thing that we do for our community of people, and that it gets them excited, gets them keen to come back, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I don't know, that just kind of popped into my head to like simplify,
streamline, and I sometimes think, again, depending on the size of your business where you're at and the size of the team that you have, you like, I can't be across everything just because I can't, like, it's just not possible. But sometimes when things seem to get so big, or they're not getting done maybe the way I would do them, which is not a bad thing, or maybe in the time that I appreciate, and it's like, oh well, it's, you know, blah blah blah, you sort of have to let go. But sometimes it's like, there was a time where I did everything as one person, and obviously the scale was a lot smaller, but it was possible to get that done, and that's because I just had less things on, or I don't know what the reason is. So it's also about, again, looking back and going, okay, how can we make this then easier? If it's not getting done, how can we make it easier?
Yeah.
So it does get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think lastly, I have one of my points here was like changes I'm looking at for next year. And I think that's sort of tied into what I already said. So just we're sort of looking at there's like a couple of teachers, I think, you know, focusing on uni. But yeah. Generally everyone is pretty much on board again, which makes timetable and everything easy.
You know their strengths.
I don't have to go like, I need 17 teachers.
Yeah.
One thing we're looking at is, again, not letting anyone go, but trying to get like less teachers where possible to do more hours.
Yeah.
So either that they can become part-time, mm-hmm. And be kind of included in that way a little bit more. And then also so we can, you know, if someone's doing 20, 25 hours a week, it's worth it for me to have like a 30-minute meeting per week or per fortnight for a teacher to attend that.
Mm.
Where if you've got 10, 15 teachers that all do 1 hour or 2 hours, it's not really worth it for you or for them to pay for a meeting, if that makes sense. So you're losing kind of that connection point. And I find as we continue to grow, to have that kind of connection to make sure that the message that we're sending and the focus on our classes is the same wherever we are is like really, really important. So that's one thing that I'm looking at trying to adapt next year. And not that, again, my teachers who only work a few hours wouldn't want to do, but like often it means that they're, because they've got other things on, they're full-time school teachers, second parents or whatever it is. So they're managing other things as well. So those are a couple of the changes I'm looking at next year. And just kind of evaluating where everyone is and like how, you know, we might need to shift their role to either further refine it or just further make it obvious and be able to kind of highlight them within the business so that they can have the biggest impact in terms of whether it be, you know, front of house or in the classroom or whatever it may be. So those things we're looking at. There's a lot of things to think about, but I hope that everyone listening, it can get some planning, you know,
just starting,
having a think about it. I think it's really important to have these like whatever discussions with team or friends or family before you start planning your year. I found this a really valuable time to reach out to people in the industry who either, you know, colleagues essentially or friends or coaches and ask their opinion about some things I've been working through, because whilst I rely on the team so much, there's some things that you need to kind of work out for yourself first before you kind of come to them. So that's really normal. You might have another studio owner that's far away or a friend through a business group, and I encourage you to sort of have these discussions with them as well. But thank you for joining me today, Mariah.
No worries.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a great day wherever you are. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching Podcast with your host, me, Claire O'Shea. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it on your stories on Instagram and tag the show or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching. Tune in next week for another episode all about helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. See you then!